Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
Let nothing disturb you, nothing frighten you. All things are passing, and patience obtains all things. God never changes, and God alone suffices. A prayer of St. Teresa of Avila, feast day today. It's my patron saint, my favorite saint. She's my rock star. Love her. We now have four female doctors of the church, by the way. St. Teresa of Avila, St. Teresa of Lisieux, St. Catherine of Siena, and St. Hildegard. Who was just named a doctor of the church by our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI. It is a glorious day. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I also found this really neat prayer in doing some searching this morning. I was just reading this to my wonderful producer, Andrew. And this is another prayer from St. Teresa of Avila, one that I was not familiar with, but it sounds just like her in terms of if you know anything about her feisty and very direct personality. Lord, you know me better than I know myself, that I am growing older and will someday be old. Keep me from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject and on every occasion. Release me from the craving to straighten out everybody's affairs. Make me thoughtful, but not moody. Helpful, but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all. But you know, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end. So keep my mind free from the recital of endless details, and give me wings to get to the point. Seal my lips of my aches and pains. They are increasing, and the love of rehearsing them is becoming sweeter as the years go by. I do not ask for improved memory, but for a growing humility and a lessening of assurance when my memory seems to clash with the memories of others. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I may be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet, for a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. Give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places, and talents in unexpected people. And give, O Lord, the grace to tell them so. Amen. Another prayer by the great St. Teresa of Avila, first female doctor of the church, and the great mystic and reformer of the Carmelite order. Teresa Tamio with you. It is a Monday, as I said, October 15th. Good to be with you. Good to be back on the air live after a whirlwind of a week. Of course, the last week flew down to the radio conference on Wednesday. Friday, I took off for Long Island, New York, to the beautiful Curia of Ours Parish in Merrick, Long Island, where they had their first Catholic Women's Conference. About 200 wonderful ladies from around that area of the country joined us for a glorious day of praise and worship and talks and inspiration. And I always get so inspired by attending these events. And I want to thank Anthony Gentile from the Life Center there, who was just delightful to work with, who put on the Women's Conference. It was actually sponsored by the beautiful Pro-Life Center. And they're also doing a men's conference that's coming up in the very near future. And thanks to my hosts for the weekend, my friend Melissa and Joe and Liz. They picked me up at the airport on Friday night, and they're involved in the young adult group and just absolutely adorable. I wanted to take them all home and make them a big bowl of macaroni. Just so cute. I mean, they're young men and women. They're adults, obviously, but so on fire for the Lord. And just had a great conversation with them on the way to the hotel, and they took me out to dinner on Friday night. And I was telling my local listeners this morning in the first hour of Catholic Connection, which is heard in the Midwest, about this connection with the Holy Spirit that we all have. It doesn't matter where we go, but if we are, where two or three are gathered in His name. I was talking with my friend Lynn from Ohio about this last night and following all the festivities for Dom's ordination last week. But really, when you come together with people who are Christians and who love the Lord, there is this instantaneous bond, and it's as if you've known them forever. There's like no, I don't know, there's like no awkwardness. It's just amazing to me, and it happens over and over and over again. And I was talking about this to my husband as well, because of all the people that came in that didn't even know him, but friends of mine that came in for his diaconate ordination last weekend, and we were talking about it. My husband's much smarter than I, and he said, well, honey, you know, this is how the early Christian community started. Started with a group of apostles, and then they would go out and they would witness. And then, of course, so many people witnessing and helping out with St. Paul and St. Timothy. And you know, as the church grew, that's how it grew from person to person, because there was that like-mindedness and there was that connection in the Spirit. And I thought, wow, that is so brilliant. But it is, really. I mean, that's the truth. And I just find it so comforting, despite what's going on in our world, despite the culture wars that we're in and what we're up against in terms of the mandate and religious freedom and the culture of death, there is this whole huge underground movement of the faith that just seems to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I think part of the reason is because we're under such attack. You know, they say the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Anyway, it was just delightful being in Long Island and meeting so many wonderful people. Had a great day. Thank you for hosting me. And I do hope that your first conference is a success for the women. And I hope you have many, many more successful conferences as well. Speaking of speaking, on Friday I'll be heading down to San Antonio. Very excited about speaking for a beautiful fundraiser there for Pregnancy Resource Center. Now, you need to check it out online. I have all the details on my website. For those of you listening in Guadalupe Radio territory, they've been wonderful in promoting this event. And you can just go to teresatamio.com and scroll down, and you'll see the link for this Friday, of course, which is October 19th. And I'll be mentioning it, too, in terms of the phone number and how to get tickets. I don't have it right in front of me right now, but it is all there on my website. If you're in the San Antonio area or nearby, come on by and support Pregnancy Resource Centers. It's so important. I mean, these folks do just, they're just miracle workers. I don't know how you do it. I do, but then again, you just amaze me every single time. So lots of good stuff, and we're trying to keep you informed and tell you what's going on in and around our world. Thanks to the wonderful folks at EWTN and the radio conference. It was great seeing all the different station managers from the affiliates who greatly appreciate what we do and what you do as listeners to keep us on the air. It was a lot of fun. Coming up on the show today, we are going to be talking with the folks from One More Soul, and that's a wonderful website all about life and the church teachings on NFP and the truth about contraception. They are engaged in a huge effort to fight the HHS mandate, and we'll find out about that. Steve Kub, who's the founder of One More Soul, will be joining us. And then Brian Kemper from the Youth Outreach of Priests for Life is going to be back with us. Looking forward to that. They are having a day of silent solidarity involving young pro-lifers across the country. But Brian, even though it's a day of silent solidarity today, we'll have a lot to talk about, I am sure, regarding what we need to do to help spread the pro-life message. And sometimes you don't say anything. You just keep quiet and let that speak for itself. And we'll explain, okay? Because there is a method to the madness, all right? 877-573-7825 is our phone number, and really look forward to having our guests on the program. Good to be back on live with you. This is the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network right now, though, at almost 8 minutes past the hour on October 15th, 2012. It is time to take a look at what's happening in and around our world. So let's do that right now, checking the news. Of course, the big story, the debate coming up tomorrow night between presidential hopeful Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama. Final preparations, as Glenn Schuck reports, are underway. He has more.
As final preparations continue for the big night, the debate talk is certainly buzzing here on campus. Students like Kyle Andrews are honored. The eyes of the nation will be here on Hofstra.
Well, it's different for me because I'm actually from California, not knowing the debate was going to be here actually until I got here. And so that was really cool, just hearing how everyone's excited about seeing him, the president. I mean, who knows, we might not even see him, but...
You're going to try to get a look at as they come in?
Oh, of course, if I can. Once in a lifetime opportunity.
Are you leaning toward one candidate or another now? Or?
I'm definitely pro-Romney, so... But, I mean, it'd still be cool to see a president, so...
And, of course, security will be extremely tight, not only on Hempstead Turnpike and the area surrounding that, but here on campus. It'd be hard to kind of walk from one building to another. Glenn Schuck on the campus at Hofstra.
Adding to the dozens of lawsuits against the HHS mandate, the Archdiocese of Atlanta and three other Catholic institutions have now filed a legal challenge to the mandate. The Archbishop of Atlanta, Wilton Gregory, is saying they're undertaking the action because the stakes are so incredibly high. He says the unchallenged results of the HHS mandate would require that we compromise or violate our religious faith and ethical beliefs. Now, the Archbishop also happens to be a past president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, saying the mandate affects the religious liberty of the Archdiocese and of Catholics, and also of people of other beliefs throughout the nation. Now, so far, over 100 plaintiffs have filed 33 other lawsuits against the federal government challenging the Department of Health and Human Services mandate. Now, despite what was claimed by the vice president last week during the debate, the exemption does not apply, the so-called exemption that's being offered, does not apply to the Catholic Church or other employees who service people outside of their own faith. This means that employers who don't comply with the mandate face fines of $100 per employee per day. Now, prominent Catholic institutions such as Notre Dame University or our own EWTN could face annual 6- or 7-figure fines. Now, for more information on this, I highly encourage you to see what the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has said about the statement made by the Vice President during the debate last week. They came out the next day very strongly correcting the Vice President's statement, which was factually wrong, completely wrong. The USCCB said exactly what we're saying in this story. The exemption does not apply to the church or other employees who service people outside of their own faith. So you need to have that information available. The USCCB put out a press release. They put out a statement. Now, that's a rare thing that the church would comment after a debate. But they had to. Because of this misinformation, people will watch TV and say, well, the vice president said this, or so-and-so said that, or this person said that. No, you need to go to the source. Now, why is the church a part of these massive lawsuits going on? If everything is fine and dandy with this exemption, it doesn't make sense. But unfortunately, so many people hear something and they hear that soundbite, and that's all they try to do when they get these messages out there. Whatever message is trying to be pushed through the airwaves. That's the oldest trick in the book. You just say it enough and people will believe it. But it's wrong. And we need to have our sources and we need to know the truth about this. So please check out the statement from the USCCB, usccb.org, and you'll see the clarification and what's really going on with the mandate and this so-called exemption. Over on the East Coast in Boston, the Cardinal there, Sean O'Malley, calling on local voters to oppose a ballot measure legalizing physician-assisted suicide. He says, please join me to stop assisted suicide by voting no on question 2 on Election Day. He mentioned this in his October 12th column in the Boston Pilot, saying that small decisions can lead to undesirable outcomes. And he criticized Massachusetts Question 2, which would allow physicians to prescribe lethal doses of drugs to allow their terminally ill patients to commit suicide. In other news this morning, House Republicans are vowing to continue their investigation into that deadly attack on Americans in Libya. California Republican Daryl Issa telling CBS's Face the Nation over the weekend, every American diplomat or embassy staff member in the Middle East is at risk if security isn't right.
If we need these things to keep our diplomats safe in these countries, we need to start spending that money and not claim that we don't have enough money.
The 14-year-old Pakistani girl shot by Taliban gunmen because of her efforts to get more girls educated is heading to Great Britain for treatment. A military spokesman saying Monday in Islamabad the teenager will need extensive care in order to recover both physically and psychologically. The shooting has drawn worldwide condemnation. As the community continues to grieve for Jessica Ridgway in Colorado, police and FBI agents are still searching for her killer. FBI Special Agent Jim Yacone is still hoping the community will help them by being vigilant.
We want you to look for changes in habits, patterns, peculiar absences of those around you, and report it to law enforcement. It is in an effort to identify behavior changes exhibited by the person responsible for this heinous crime.
Meanwhile, Colorado police have set up a command post yesterday near the open area where her body was found. They met with residents who were upset and worried about a murder taking place so close to their homes. DNA tests positively identified the body found in a field last week as Ridgway's. And pretrial hearings start today for 5 men charged with plotting the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Scott Pringle has that story.
Self-professed 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and 4 others will go before a military judge today in Guantanamo Bay. Some 9/11 survivors and family members of victims will be watching the pretrial motions through video at 4 military locations. The 5 men face the death penalty for orchestrating the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. All face nearly 3,000 counts of murder, one for every person killed in the attacks. The actual trial is not expected to start until next year. Scott Pringle, New York.
And finally in our news segment this morning on Monday, October 15, 2012, Chuck Yeager breaking the sound barrier yet again. The 89-year-old legendary pilot accomplishing that feat yesterday, 65 years to the day, that he first achieved Mach speed. The retired Brigadier General piloting an F-15 over the Mojave Desert during takeoff from Nellis Air Force Base, then turning the jet's controls over to a younger pilot who pushed it to supersonic speeds well over 670 miles per hour.
What I did, I took out of Nellis and went down to Edwards, which was about 170 miles away, and made a sonic boom, went across Edwards at about, 1.3 Mach number, and that laid down a pretty good sonic boom on Edwards.
The two breaking the sound barrier at the exact minute Yeager first did so, back in 1947. It's 16 minutes past the hour. You are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa Tomeo up next. We're going to be talking about another effort to fight and stand up against the HHS mandate. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. It's a Monday morning. Hope you're doing well on this, the feast day of St. Teresa of Avila, first female doctor of the Church, the great Carmelite reformer, writer, mystic, and just an incredible witness for our faith. And actually, many, many people, not only just Catholic Christians, but other Christians, are big fans of St. Teresa, and especially her mysticism and her work on contemplative prayer. Our topic for right now, though, is going to be all about standing up against the HHS mandate. Many, many efforts underway, including one by the folks at One More Soul. Steve Kube is a director and co-founder, and he's joining us now live. Good morning, Steve. Thanks. Appreciate your coming on the show.
Good morning, Teresa. How are you today?
I'm well. Now, give us just, if, in case someone is not familiar with the work of One More Soul, give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of what you do and how you began.
Well, One More Soul began in 1993 as an organization that understood that contraception was the root cause for abortion. And that was an insight that we had gained the year before, my co-founder and I, Mary Ann Walsh. And it was confirmed by the Supreme Court in Planned Parenthood versus Casey when they said we have to have abortion for failed contraception. And, of course, that's what happened with Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Dalton. So contraception is at the root of our problems today, and so we have done our best to try to educate people on that. Our name, One More Soul, suggests our primary mission, which is to encourage married couples to be open to another child, be open to life, be open to the supreme gift of marriage, the child that will live forever in the presence of God and the saints. So, and then along with that, we're encouraging children to be born into married families, married couples. We discourage the use of artificial birth control. We point out to couples the benefits of natural family planning. And, of course, sterilization is part of the contraception thing, and we know that that's a very big problem in our culture, in our church. A lot of couples resort to that, but it destroys their intimacy and has a very adverse effect on their marriage.
Let's talk a little bit more before we get into your actual effort on the HHS mandate. Oh, what's your website, by the way?
OneMoreSoul.com.
Right. I'm very familiar with your work. You do great work. But let's talk about the connection between not only contraception and abortion, but the fallout from contraception. Of course, the four predictions or the prophecy, I really believe, of Pope Paul VI in Humana Vitae, how the four things have come true, bar none. But a lot of people sit there and say, well, abortion, contraception, and what's the big deal about contraception in terms of the fallout? Not just in terms of, well, obviously with the life issue, but what we see now, Steve, with this oversexed culture of ours, a lot of it has to go back to, and Dr. Janet Smith talks about this a great deal, with the introduction of the birth control pill.
John Paul II said contraception and abortion are fruits of the same tree. He didn't talk about what that tree was, but a tree of knowledge, I suppose, from the Garden of Eden. And so we see that connection when the pill came out in the 60s, the divorce rate doubled from 25% to 50% over 10 years. And as you mentioned, Janet Smith has done a great job of helping people understand that. We distributed her talk, Contraception, Why Not, for many, many years, over a million copies in several different formats. I think it had an effect on many, many people over those years. So, Pope Paul VI had four predictions. I don't know that I can name them right off the top of my head without a little pre-thought here, but one of those would be a degradation in the moral behavior of our society, and that certainly has happened. Look at our movies, look at our television programs, look at the increased interest in same-sex marriage, same-sex activities. It's just a disaster that has fallen upon our culture, our society, and also the church, which we can see in the decreased family size, decreased number of vocations to priesthood and religious life, closing of Catholic schools and parishes, only 25% of Catholics going to Mass on the weekend on a regular basis. I would blame contraception on, blame all these things on contraception.
Now, you do have a particular response, and one of the reasons we brought you on today, in addition to just reminding people of your ministry and the resources that are available at onemoresoul.com, you have a really good newspaper response to the mandate, and it's on the homepage, and there's a link to it. But tell us about that in terms of the information you're providing.
Well, the title of it is Obey Mandate or Scripture, Obey Man or God. The Scripture, the Holy Word of God, says in Genesis, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Three times God says, be fruitful, you know, have children. And so what the mandate asks everybody to do is contracept, sterilize, and abort. So these are directly opposite to what God commands. The mandate is totally against what God commands. And, of course, the mandate is trying to drive a wedge between the first great commandment and the second great commandment. The mandate does not cause us to not go to church on Sunday. It does not affect our freedom of religion, so to speak, our freedom of worship, I should say. But it does affect our ability to serve our neighbor in agreement with our faith. It forces us to provide intrinsically evil things, contraception, abortion, sterilization, to our employees, to anybody that is covered by health care, whether they're employees of the church or employees of a Catholic employer, employees of anybody. And this issue has brought many people into the Catholic fold, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Glenn Beck, a Mormon, and Mike Huckabee, a Baptist minister, both said, you know, we're all Catholics now. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is that every American, but certainly every religious American, every American associated with the denomination, should see this assault primarily on the Catholic Church's teachings as an assault on all religions and potentially an assault on whatever their beliefs may be, whether they're opposed to contraception, sterilization, or not.
I also think, though, too, Steve, in addition to this, and we'll get back, we have some questions already coming in for you, and we'll have some ideas on how to use this terrific resource, but I also think once they start with this, if this is allowed to stand, this is just one area, then they're going to move into our lives in other areas as well. So yes, attack on religious freedom, but attack on freedom in general. 877-573-7825. Check out the resources on onemoresoul.com. Steve Kuhb back with us for another few minutes to talk about this terrific addition to your resource. We try to give you as many resources as possible. Information, knowledge is power. Scripture tells us my people perish for lack of knowledge. And let me tell you, the resource that One More Soul has is terrific. You can find it on the homepage at onemoresoul.com. We'll get to that in a second, but I want to get to John's question in Detroit, because this is something that comes up a lot. And I'm glad, John, I'm glad you're bringing it up, because we get this question all the time. John, good morning. Thanks for joining us. What's your question or comment for Steve?
Good morning. Doesn't natural family planning kind of establish a need for birth control? And people just say, why should I go through all that when I can just use regular birth control? And it's kind of, to me, it's kind of muddying the waters. We're promoting birth control, and then we're not promoting birth control at the same time.
Okay, but are you saying, John, that people get confused by NFP, thinking that it's contraception or a Catholic form of contraception? Is that what you mean?
It muddies the waters in that respect. And then it also establishes a need for birth control, which confuses people even more.
Okay, but I think what establishes that or that concern is a lack of understanding of what NFP actually is and what the church actually teaches. So I'm glad you called. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think that's why I bring up the serious reason to use it, because otherwise it could be used just cavalierly for any purpose, any reason, and that's counter to natural law. In fact, natural family planning is certainly, in a way, unnatural, because it forces a married couple to abstain from sexual relations when, of course, sexual relations is an integral part of married life, and especially during the fertile time, because that's when most women have their highest libido. That's when they are most interested in sexual relations. That's part of God's devious plan, if you will, to encourage people to follow his command, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And so I think that's just a very important part that doesn't get emphasized too much. And it's a part of natural family planning that kind of biases a couple toward having another child, because it's hard to abstain when you especially are eager to participate, and when your wife is eager to participate because her libido is high, because she's fertile. So a lot of natural family planning using couples have fairly large families. They have 5, 6, 7 children, and they claim to be NFP users. And so I think it's a very interesting subject that you bring up, John. It requires a good bit of study to totally understand it, I think. But it's a really good question that you ask.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the question. Let's get back to the resource that you have available at onemoresoul.com. People can print this up. How would you suggest that it be distributed or used, Steve? What do you think?
Well, you could print it out from your computer. The format is like a tabloid. A page is 11 by 17, so it's big. But you could print it on legal paper, for example, 11 by 14, or 8.5 by 14, I should say, and it will look very nice. But you can order the actual newspaper directly from us by going to our website. They're very inexpensive, and we encourage people to buy 50 or 100 or thousands. Several parishes have ordered thousands. We distributed 10,000 at the Eucharistic Congress in Charlotte, North Carolina, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very inexpensive resource, and it has a great deal of stuff in it. People really, really like it. I gave 100 to a parish priest here in the Dayton area, took him home, and a week later his business manager shows up and says, we need 250 more. Well, people like it because it's very broad. It covers 7 different aspects of the mandate: religious freedom, right of conscience, assault on the Catholic Church teachings. These are all parts of the issue that the bishops have addressed formally. They have not really addressed, in my opinion, that I know of, the underlying problems of contraception, sterilization, and abortion. They've been trying to keep the focus on religious freedom, and I understand that. But they should, in my opinion, also take this opportunity to educate not only the public, everybody, but also the Catholic people on the intrinsic evils of abortion, contraception, sterilization. Contraception and sterilization are not subjects which are typically treated in the weekend homily, and so, but yet they are the fundamental problem with the mandate.
Right. Now, are you finding, you said that you've already distributed to quite a few parishes, are you finding an open reception, a willingness to distribute this at
the
parish level?
Well, it's kind of a problem, because the bishops have agreed that they will not distribute from the diocese anything that unless it comes from the USCCB,
right.
Or from their own state Catholic conference, or from the bishop himself.
Mm-hmm.
So this does not qualify. But our own Archbishop Dennis Schnur, Archbishop of Cincinnati, gave us an imprimatur for this newspaper.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Blew me away. I didn't ask for it, didn't expect it, but we had submitted it to them for cleanup because in its original form they said it was too partisan. So we cleaned it up. They decided it was nonpartisan in its new version, and Archbishop Schnur gave us the imprimatur, and he approved its distribution and use in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati.
Oh, that's great.
But we had to find people to do that distribution ourselves. And the same thing, Diocese of Toledo, up the road from us, they're distributing, individuals are distributing them by the thousands. I think they've probably distributed close to 10 or 15,000 copies now.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, we've printed about 75,000, and most of those are out somewhere in this country.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, and I think, too, for example, lots of times, you know, you'll go to a particular parish and you'll see, for example, I was at a parish last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, where they were distributing the Catholic Answers Voters Guides, which are not officially, of course, endorsed by the USCCB, but are very good tools, falling into that same category, as you said, because the bishops are their approach is that if we approve one from one organization, we'd have to approve them all. But the fact that you had the imprimatur from your archbishop, I think, says an awful lot. So people can simply go on the website and get this? Is that the best way to do it?
Yeah, if they go on their website and order it directly from us by phone or by ordering it over the Internet. If they order it over the Internet, they can choose their method for getting it to them. Media mail is the least expensive, but mm-hmm. we can ship UPS whenever they want to get it.
Okay, so how many areas do you think you've hit so far across the country? Any ideas, Steve?
Oh, Teresa, it goes all over, but not in large quantities in anyone's place. I have sent a letter to every bishop in the country about a week ago inviting them to reprint it in your own diocese and distribute it, but I haven't had any takers yet, and I probably won't. But that's unfortunate because not only is it a challenge to the HHS mandate, but it's a powerful catechesis tool on the church's teaching on contraception.
Well, give them a time. I'm sure maybe if they hear about it and gets up to the right channel, because we know sometimes it takes time to get to them. So we always keep an open mind and pray for the best. But I want to direct people to your website, onemoresoul.com, to get this beautiful summary on the mandate regarding how we respond, obey mandate or scripture. Thanks, Steve. Keep the great work. God bless you. Up next, Brian Kemper. Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. It's a Monday. Brian Kemper with Priests for Life and their youth outreach, 877-573-7825. Upcoming day of silent solidarity. How you doing? I know you're not feeling too well today. It's fighting a cold, a really bad cold, so we appreciate you coming on with us because your message is so important, and we want you to make sure you go to the doctor and get those meds.
Yes, ma'am, but nothing's going to hold me back from being on the Teresa Tomeo show. It won't happen.
Listen to you. I'll offer it up. Here I am. All right, well, we're glad you joined us. Appreciate it. All right.
Plus my Packers won last night in a great game, so I have to be a little happy.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the Day of Silent Solidarity. What is it and when is it?
Tomorrow is the 9th annual Pro-Life Day of Silent Solidarity. This is a day for mostly students, but a lot of adults get involved also, to take a vow of silence for the day. And what they do is they stay silent in solidarity with the children that are dying from abortion. And, you know, if you have a group of 10, 15 students talking about something on campus, you might get a little buzz about it. But if you have a group of 10, 15 students who are completely silent for a day, it becomes the most talked about thing on campus. And so they pass out flyers explaining why they're being silent in solidarity with those that are dying from abortion, and it creates this huge buzz and actually speaks louder than any words can. And it's a great way for young people to take action, and it's non-confrontational, and it's just it's proven over the years to reach so many people and save a lot of lives.
So in terms of getting involved, what can people do? What can the young people do if they're interested?
It's so simple. You just go to silentday.org. That's silentday.org. You register. It's free. You download the flyer that you want to pass out. We do have T-shirts for sale, but we tell kids if you can't buy a T-shirt, just make your own pro-life T-shirt, you know. They'll do the red duct tape. There's so many different ways to get involved. All the suggestions are there on the website. There's no cost to it. Just go there and register so we know how many people. And people that go to homeschool can register. People that are out of school can register. A lot of working people will go and take part while they're not working that day. So it's something for everybody.
Let's talk a little bit about the young people, Brian, and where they're at in terms of the pro-life issue. I was just mentioning this. I spoke in Long Island over the weekend and how encouraged I am by the young people and their involvement. The numbers just continue to grow, especially when you go to the March for Life. I mean, it's insane. You and I are the old geezers. Everybody else is like, you know, it's the under 30 crowd pretty much.
Oh, absolutely. It's growing. Last year, we did at Priest for Life, we helped host the first annual official March for Life youth rally, and we had 1,500 kids show up for that. And just everything you do that has to do with youth, it's exploding. I think it was the head of NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League, who got off a train a couple of years ago in D.C.
Right.
And was freaked out by how many young people. It actually scared her because she realized all these young people are pro-life. And her crowd is getting up there in the years. And I see this not just here in America, around the world. Teresa, when I was at the March for Life Belgium speaking there last year, the day before they had their March for Death, and it was a bunch of old people. Socialists and old people. So, and the March for Life was full of young people. So it's not just here, but around the world, this generation is more and more pro-life.
Why do you think it's connecting so much with the younger people, Brian? What is it?
You know, I think there's several things. One, I'm seeing a push back to faith. Young people realizing that the years of watered down sort of apathetic faith is ridiculous, and a lot of young people are really getting back to a solid Orthodox faith, which is super exciting. And also just basic knowledge of science as we look at the 3D and 4D ultrasounds and the scientific facts that are out there. You can't deny that life begins at conception anymore. It's just not even the pro-abortion side says that life doesn't begin at conception. Like, they know it now. They have to admit it now. So I think that just basic science has been a big part of that also. And also just it's almost the rebellious thing to do now. Kind of funny is, you know, not to push rebellion, but it's almost the rebellious thing to do for the rebellious young person to go pro-life now.
To kind of go against the grain of the culture, right?
Absolutely. And when you see when young people see the lies, you know, the younger you are, the easier it is to see through the lies. And I think they're seeing through the lies of this current administration and the garbage that's being pushed down the throats of this country.
Are you seeing, is it more men or more young women, or is it balanced between the two? On Saturday at the women's conference I spoke at, there were some young women from the university where the debate's going to take place, and they were talking about Feminists for Life that are coming to campus and some other efforts, and oh my goodness, they were so articulate, so much more articulate than when I was at that age. But are you seeing more women or more men, or is it kind of even, split between the two in the young pro-life movement? What do you think?
Well, I think that there's both, but I think what you're seeing is a surge of women leaders, young women leaders. When you have people like Lila Rose that are coming up in the ranks, and Christina Garza at Survivors, and Abby Johnson and Kate Bryan, there's so many of these young pro-life women leaders that are coming up. Kristen Hawkins at Students for Life of America. These are young women leaders that are, They're kicking butt and taking names. That's really what they're doing. And so I think you're seeing them really standing out. I'm excited to see what they're doing and to see the effects of this. You know, the pro-abortion side has always said, oh, you guys are all men. No, that's not true at all. There's some amazing young pro-life women leaders.
All right, if you have a question for our friend Brian Kemper, 877-573-7825. Now, what will you be doing tomorrow for the Day of Silent Solidarity?
That, unfortunately, is the day I talk the most, because I'm usually on the phone with reporters and, you know, talking to the lawyers. If
that's what I was thinking. It's a Day of Silent Solidarity, but you got to be talking a lot, right?
For me, it is. Yeah, I don't get to remain silent. I'm sure my wife would love for me to participate in the day, but I talk all day. And, you know, we get kids that are harassed by you know, their schools, and I have to talk to the lawyers and all of that stuff. And then it's also just pulling in the stories. And I'll tell you, I spend a lot of time in tears on that day. When I read the stories about young women who end up changing their mind and keeping their baby because of somebody participating mm-hmm. in the day, I end up in tears.
Yeah. All right. Well, hold on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more and wrap up with Brian Kemper from Priests for Life, their youth outreach, talking about a big day coming up tomorrow, a day of silent solidarity. 877-573-7825 if you have a question for Brian. 877-573-7825. We'll be right back. Chatting with Brian Kemper about the Day of Silent Solidarity. Brian is with Priests for Life and runs the youth outreach for Priests for Life. PriestsForLife.org is the website. And don't forget Defending Life on EWTN. Janet Miranda just taped a whole slew of new shows to be airing in the next year. Defending Life, beautiful program that's been on for many, many years on EWTN. Again, for more information, PriestsForLife.org and also EWTN.com to check out all their programs. Brian, in terms of the event tomorrow, give us the resources again. Let's say if somebody's just hearing about this or there's a parent who wants to tell the young person who's very involved with pro-life activities and maybe hasn't taken part in the Day of Silent Solidarity.
Absolutely. SilentDay.org is the website. That's SilentDay.org. And they just go to the website, register. It's free. It's very simple. You can also look us up on Facebook. But it's again, SilentDay.org, and it has all frequently asked questions section, everything you need to get involved right there on the website.
All right. Well, let me ask you in terms of, I know that you're a relatively new convert to Catholicism, and so we're going to kind of go off topic a little bit, but then again, not really, because I want to ask you, how do you think your pro-life work, your pro-life ministry has been enhanced by your conversion to Catholicism?
Wow, I didn't know we're going another full hour.
Sure, why not?
You know, everything in my life is enhanced by it, not just my pro-life work, Teresa. Like, my whole life is enhanced by it. Like, I mean, everything. Like, obviously, in the pro-life work, there's two things, Teresa. There's absolutely two things that change my life. Those two things are confession and the Eucharist. Like to go to confession, to actually speak the words out loud. And if there's any of my Protestant friends out there listening right now, to understand what it means to speak your sins out loud instead of just kind of whisper them to God and just, you know, but to actually say the words out loud in front of somebody is the most freeing thing in the world. And to know, to get that absolution, it's just so amazing. And then to go to the Eucharist, it's like winning the lottery twice in one day. And that's not even close to describing how cool it is. Like, I don't know. It enhances everything. And so, yes, it's enhanced my pro-life work, because now I'm part of a church that's never once wavered on the pro-life issue. Like, I am part of the church that's never wavered on contraception and abortion. And when you're backed up by a church that has no wavering, no exceptions whatsoever, when you're part of that, it just makes it so much easier to take that stand.
Mm-hmm. And I was just talking about that too over the weekend, and saying, you know, if you are you know, thinking about things and thinking about the issues and how you feel about them, if you come to a different conclusion than the church, then you have to go back to square one, because, you know, hello, church has been around for 2,000 years, and as you said, has been steadfast in her teachings, on especially in terms of the life issues. And there's such a vast amount of information and resources and things that have been written from the great saints and, of course, doctors of the church and the Holy Fathers and whatnot. But having this examination of conscience and also understanding how a well-formed conscience comes to be is very, very important. And again, Janet Smith always talks about this. She says, you talk about arrogance, we think we know more than 2,000 years of teaching. Yeah. If you come to a different opinion. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what it was. And I told you, I've told you before in our conversations that one of the things that I stood there as I was fighting this, just that term, one truth, there can only be one truth. There can't be 40,000. And it just made so much sense once you realize it, that there's not 40,000 different teachings of Christ that are the truth. And it's not that I've dismissed all the Protestant denominations, because I love my Protestant brothers and sisters, and mm-hmm. I think that they love God, and I think that God is a loving God that understands that what we believe is they've been deceived, and I don't want to be one of those people that says, oh well, if you're not part of the church, you're not going to heaven. I've heard people say that, and that's just ridiculous,
right?
Once you come to the fullness, though, it just makes everything so much better. It's so much easier.
Right, right. Well, I just think we can learn so much from each other, and I know you taught me a lot as a Protestant brother and vice versa. But I think in the end, as you said, what you came to the conclusion in terms of, not everybody can be right. And everybody comes to it at their own, I think, journey. And we're all on a journey. Sometimes I just wish, though, that because of the urgency of the situation in our culture, that everybody would get this instant infusion of grace, and that we could all be together, because we all need to be one. But I do see a great deal of ecumenism going on right now. And I really think that the attacks on the church is so many of our Protestant brothers and sisters. And I even ran into some people in the airports on my travels from Alabama to New York, wonderful Protestant sisters who said, you know what? We're all Catholic now. We're with you because of this, and they realize what's going on. Brian, I'm going to let you go because I know you're not feeling well. Thank you, sweetie. Get some rest, and tell Father Frank and the rest of the folks at Priest of Life I told them to give you the day off.
All right, I will.
All right. And we'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, what's the website again before I let you go for the silent for the day of silence?
Silentday.org.
Silentday.org. All right, thanks, my friend. Feel better.
All right, God bless.
God bless. Brian Patrick, or Brian Kemper, I should say. Excuse me. Brian Patrick, of course, is the Sunrise Morning Show. Brian Kemper is with the Outreach, Youth Outreach, with Priest for Life, talking about the Day of Solidarity. Silentday.org is the website. Tomorrow, very excited to have Dr. Ralph Martin joining us live on the Synod of Bishops in Rome, and we'll check out all that's going on with the new evangelization. Talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Make it a blessed day, and St. Teresa of Avila, pray for us.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.